Rave Radio. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of AV Insider. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Mota. I am recording from undisclosed location in warm, very warm California. It's not so... what's the word I'm looking for? It's not so pretty as it used to be, but we can get into that in another show because that doesn't have anything to do with AV. So today, as always, I have a special guest and I will bring him in shortly, but they are from Barco and I will shortly bring him in. As always, I had like to thank my sponsor, and someone could spew it off the top of their head really good, but I'm bad, so I have things written down because I'm old and I forget things. But I can't forget Ingram Micro because they're the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. If you head over to ingrammicro.com, you would probably find some of the past shows from AV Insider, or guests, I should say, not shows, from my shows in the past, like Onkyo and Sennheiser, to be distributing such products there. Head over to ingrammicro.com. You can check out some of the stuff that they have to offer to you. As I mentioned, today I have a special guest, and it is Richard Marples. He's the Strategic Marketing Director of Venues and Hospitality over at Barco. Richard, thank you for taking the time today. You are calling from the future, so I'm a day behind you. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And yes, it's Wednesday morning, bright and early here in Hong Kong, so good to be with you.
Good Lord, Hong Kong. Can you give me a general overview of what or who Barco is in our industry?
Sure. Barco's into many different things, as I'm sure lots of people know out there. We've got three main businesses. We're split up into what we call an entertainment division, which I'm part of. We have an industrial and government division, which take care of things like security and monitoring and all kinds of applications with large industrial companies, so like oil and gas and some of the broadcast applications. And then we have a medical division, which take care of all things medical, as the name implies. Within the entertainment division, we've got a couple of main focuses. One of the key ones for us is digital cinema, which has been very, very good for us. We've managed to come out with some fantastic products for the cinema world, and the majority of cinemas out there are equipped with Barco equipment. And then lastly, we've got venues and hospitality, which I'm part of. We've got two main focuses there. It takes care of everything to do with rental and staging, which is a very big market for us, supplying or selling equipment to our rental partners who then rent out equipment to the big shows, corporate events, spectaculars, big opening ceremonies, things like that. And then we've got the fixed install world, which are basically the system integrators that buy our equipment to put with other equipment for a fixed installation in things like theme parks, convention centers, theaters, all those kind of entertainment venues and visitor attractions.
In the fixed application, do you see it more of like a high-end commercial application versus maybe a residential where Barco would be installed?
Yeah, not residential. We do have a small incubator looking at more along the residential lines at the moment.
Okay.
So that is something that we're exploring. But no, what I look after is very much the professional visualization for professional applications in visitor attractions.
Well, I am actually the reason I contacted you guys because I was very curious. For those of you out there in the sports ball arena world, you've probably watched the Super Bowl because that's what people do, I'm told. I don't know. I just kind of show up for the food because I like to eat. And then they have sports attractions. This last one, the kind of interesting halftime show where they had some 3D projection mapping as the ground and things like that. And Katy Perry was doing her thing and, you know, whatever. But the 3D projection mapping was what I was very interested in. I've seen some pretty cool applications in the past, and this was one of them. And to my knowledge, Barco is doing that, right? You guys did that?
Yes, we've done a number of these things now. And it's really becoming a trend. and to engage and entertain the audience pre-show, halftime, after-show, to keep people's energy levels up, to keep them in the stadium longer. Many times, a lot of arenas and stadiums like to do that because it draws the crowd in early because they're entertained right from the word go. And of course, crowds in there in the stadium for longer are buying more popcorn, more beer, more soda. So it's good for the stadium owners.
Sell. aside from like what I'm talking about, like the projection mapping, things like that, can you talk about some of the other ones that you have done that people maybe have seen out there? I mean, the Super Bowl is the last one that I have even heard of.
Yeah, sure. Well, there's a number in North America. North America is obviously an important market for us. And we've got a very good partner called Quince Imaging, who've been responsible for installing a number of these projection mapping spectaculars on a kind of fixed install basis in a number of basketball and ice hockey arenas. So, for example, I'm not an expert on North American sports teams, but I think there's the 76ers, there's the Sacramento Kings, and the other names of the teams escape me. But there's a number of arenas and stadiums out there that have had this this kind of package installed where they hang the projectors in the roof pointing vertically down at the basketball arena. It's done with a total of 8 projectors. And they use a number of media servers to handle the content. It makes a completely seamless image on the basketball court. And the main thing for them is that, you know, that one of their biggest assets or the biggest canvases that they have in the whole arena is the court itself. So they're able to use it. They're able to bring sponsors messages. They're able to entertain the crowd. And for them, it's really exciting.
Just seeing that stuff is, for me, is exciting. And I don't know if it's just because I love technology and things like that, but it's not your typical use for projectors. I mean, you know, usually you watch a movie and things like that, but 3D projection mapping is a whole other in-depth level of projection that typically you haven't, I hadn't seen too often in the last, I would say, 10 years. And I've seen, like, in the last 5, I've seen one that was really, really unique, and it was, I think it was a marketing thing for the last Tron 3D. Mm-hmm. It was like a Daft Punk thing and up against walls and crates and things like that. I don't know, someone's back alley. And it was really unique projection of the space that was provided. And I was pretty blown away, but it was possible.
It's really becoming very popular. As you say, in sort of the last 5 years, it's gone from being really something quite specialized. And I think the specialization is really not so much the setting up of the projectors, although that does, of course, require a lot of skill, but certainly in the creation of the content and making the content wrap around the thing or the objects that they're actually projecting on. And I think some of the tools that the people are using now have really advanced, and we see it being applied in many, 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 many fields now. So it's really getting quite exciting.
Do you guys have partners to when someone, a North American sports team or anyone really, casinos? I would imagine that might be a big thing. To keep people, you know, in the late night, you know, there's an attraction going on. If, you know, maybe their downtime outside, it would draw them in. When someone is considering something like that, do they approach you? Do you get in on the design level of pitching this to somebody or a venue, if you will? Where does Barco get involved at what stage does this happen?
Sure. I mean, obviously, yes, of course, they do contact us sometimes. But actually, we're not the people that are actually going to come and install it and sell it to you. It requires much more than what we as Barco have to offer. And notably, as I said, it requires content. That's something that we don't do, and not something that we're really going to get into. We're not that creative when it comes to on the media side of things. So you do need a partner who knows what they're doing, a company who can bring the projectors and the media servers from our side, can bring the content, can bring all the installation, the services that go along with it to make the whole thing a success. So there are a lot of specialized companies out there who do this kind of thing, and those are the people that we would refer anyone contacting us to go and talk to and talk about their installation.
So if I was some new event place, per se, just for the sake of a demo, and I'm thinking about hosting events, and you know, it's a nightlife kind of a thing, and I want to have an outdoor area where I'm going to have catered events or something like that, and then in the meantime, when things are not, you know, the main show, I want to present something, and I heard Barco can provide, you know, great projection and things like that, and maybe I contact someone at Barco, you would be able to direct me or this venue to the correct content creators or the team, at least, to get us in the right direction to get that application done.
Yes, definitely. And of course, you know, we're happy to provide input on projectors and media servers. We can provide training and certification on projectors and media servers. But you still need a bit more than that to make a successful event.
Okay, so let's start with that, though. Let's go back to a basic understanding of projection. You said that you can provide training on projection and media servers. If someone out there is listening and they're interested in maybe they're interning right now, eventually, yeah, that's great. You know, this is the future. This is going to be a big thing moving forward. And right now, it's kind of just starting to take off, really, like I said, in the last 5 years. How would someone go about contacting Barco? I'd like to learn more. I want to get trained, or, you know, maybe Barco is the leader in this field. I want to get there. How do I get involved to get that information or education?
It's very easy. You go onto our website and you can see in there listed a bunch of training courses for the different products. So you generally get you browse through the website. You go into different product categories. And then normally, I think it's on the right-hand side, it suggests upcoming training classes for different kinds of certification programs. So it could be installation, could be basic maintenance, could be very complex, detailed maintenance. And you can sign up for those courses and go along and take them.
You said that's under the kind of training sections, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I'm navigating over to, the website, by the way, is barco.com. Head over there, and it go over to the top tab. It's kind of in the middle right area, training and support. Scroll down, hit training, and lo and behold, I see very much what you just said. So this is a yearly thing that happens, just depending on what we're looking to get into and things like that?
Well, not so much yearly. It really depends on the demand that we have. Okay. If there's a huge demand out there, we'll put more classes on. If demand falls away for a certain reason, whatever it is, over a couple of months, we'll reduce it a little bit. We really try and cater for what's out there and try and make things as flexible as possible.
It looks like you have a lot of training, and this is something I don't really see, and I wish I did see more with some of the bigger names out there from manufacturers and companies to get this kind of training. Because after doing shows like this, I always get, hey, this is the latest kind of technology and whatever, surround or video, where can I learn more? And in some cases, the manufacturer will give me the information. We hold trainings every year to make sure people specifying our products, software, whatever it is, are kind of to some level or our standard. So that way they're not kind of muddying the field, if you will. And on your site, you have a lot of different topics for that kind of stuff. So are these education stuff that Barco has created as, this is what we say that you should be doing, and by getting certified, you are Barco certified on product or Field X?
Yes. In our industry, as you know, there's a lot of freelancers out there. The industry relies on freelancers, particularly in the rental and staging world. People will set up events and they'll need a projectionist, or they'll need someone to operate an encore system or a media server or something like that. And they call in freelancers who are, people out there doing stuff by themselves. And for a freelancer to go in with a certificate from the manufacturer and say, look, I've sat this course, I know how this equipment works, just gives that reassurance to the person doing the show or the owner of the equipment. A lot of the equipment on all of these shows, not just Barco equipment, but all of the equipment is very expensive stuff. And putting it into the hands of people who don't necessarily know what they're doing, it can be a little worrying. So having that certification and approval process just helps the whole industry get along that much better.
I like that. That's probably the best response I've ever heard anyone say, other than, well, I probably would have said it a little more mean, but yeah, I think educating the people out there, and so that we're all on the same playing field, at least, to fully be confident and install and deploy these systems at a certified level, at least by what the standards are, if I can use the word standards, because I feel like standard isn't really the common word with across the board with, you know, from company to company to field to field. It just doesn't, it doesn't exist, but we're getting there. And by providing education and certification, that is very much helping to create standards, which is we need very much in our industry. As audio and video integration and things like that, even lighting, as far as that goes, standards are tough. And once one is developed, it's tough to get everyone on board, honestly.
Yep.
So it's great. I'm glad that your company is providing such education. But I'm assuming it's probably not free. Is that correct? That each course or guideline costs X amount to get certified, correct?
Yes, there is a charge.
Sure.
And it's something that we've wrestled with time and time again, but we've always come basically fallen onto the conclusion that if it's for free, then it's probably not worth anything. And, you know, it obviously has a cost. It's not something that we're there to make profit out of, but it does have value. So that's the reason that it has a value against it.
Okay. I'm going to ask the dumb question. What's my return on investment? I'm just kidding. Don't answer that. Sorry. I always get that. I'm like, what's my return on investment? I'm like, we're done talking.
It depends.
Right. Did you understand the course? Here's another on the spot question. Is Bark going to be at upcoming InfoComm next month?
Yes, of course. Barco wouldn't be Barco without going to InfoComm. So it's definitely one of our go-to shows during the whole year. And it's a place where we can see, you know, all of the industry's most important people in the space of 2-3 days. So yes, we'll definitely be there.
And I should note, everyone who's listening probably knows, but just for fun, InfoComm is a commercial AV and pro integrator, if you will, show catered very much to the pro AV side of our industry.
We'll be in booth 2529.
2529. I'm glad you knew that, because I was about to ask you, and I feel sometimes people are on the spot and they're like, ooh, I didn't know that was going to be one of the questions. And usually it's not, but it's good to get that information out there. So booth 2529, you can come check out Barco. Do you guys have a huge display? A huge booth?
We don't have a huge booth. It fits our purposes. We don't like having massive booths that just fill it up with all kinds of equipment. It tends to be, ends up looking like a garage sale.
Okay.
So we prefer to have something, you know, small, workable, a place where we can meet with customers. We can show them the most important stuff, you know, and maybe go away, grab a coffee, and talk about what's happening. That for us is the most important reason for attending InfoComm.
Is it a place that would be Is it a place that other people, maybe Barco dealers or people interested in Barco can go and learn about the latest technology that Barco is producing and possibly new technology?
Yes, we always have a couple of product launches. There's always some new stuff to talk about, depending on who the people is that we're meeting. Of course, we may or may not reveal some future roadmap indications about which directions we're going in. There's always new stuff to learn.
Okay, so I want all the new stuff. I want all your roadmap. And if you have any of that stuff, just blink once for yes, no for, or two for twice. And I can't tell in video because my eyes aren't that great. So I couldn't tell if you blinked or not. Barco's getting into high-end residential. Just say yes. Yes? Okay.
We're thinking about it. Yes.
I'll take that as a yes. I heard it here. Yes. High-end residential. Put it down. Will there be any projection mapping at your booth?
Yes, we're launching actually a new version of our media server at the show, so it will be the first time that it's out there, and we will be showing some projection mapping.
Oh, okay. Before we new version, I didn't even ask. You guys make media servers, which I was unaware of. Can we talk a little bit about the media servers? What dumb question. What is a media server? What can I put on a media server? What does a media server do?
Well, a media server is basically quite a powerful computer, usually built around a kind of gaming engine. So it has a high-end gaming graphics card, and of course it's got some hard disk storage to hold all the content on there. And then the most important part of it is that it has some specific and purpose-built software, which allows you to take that content, which is stored on the hard drive, and wrap it around the object that you're projecting on. So it allows you to distort and manipulate that content to make sure that it looks perfect when it's on a 3D object of any description, so a building or a car or whatever it is that you're projecting onto.
So what I got out of all that is a really sweet computer that can hold and store all your media. Barco makes it and it's perfect. So when it doesn't go right, because computers are always right, I need your personal phone number and email so I can give that out to everyone who heard that as well. And that way they can call you directly and say, "Hey, Richard, it's not exactly perfect." Or it is perfect, but I want you to get those phone calls. Do you ever get those phone calls?
They don't come to me personally. They go to people much, much more competent than me who can answer the questions that people have. So we do have 24/7 support lines, and people who are having problems can call those support lines and get through and talk to somebody who knows what they're doing.
Before I get that
Before I get that
information,
information.
I'd like to thank my sponsor again. I mentioned in the beginning, their name is Ingram Micro. They are the world's largest distributor. Sorry, technology distributor nonetheless, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. If you head over to ingrammicro.com, check out the products they have to offer. Some of them were my guests in the past on AV Insider. And if you've been listening, you know who they are. I don't need to say them again, but I can if you'd like. Or you can just rewind to the beginning of the show or listen to past shows on Rave Radio. 24-hour support, 24/7, 7 days a week.
We have a 24/7 support line in most places of the world. I won't say every single country, but we try to offer that, certainly in the main market. So yeah, North America, we have a 24/7 helpline.
That's pretty good. I don't get that from some of my favorite brands, which maybe I won't say because then they'll be lower on the scale of favorite brands. But that's good because, when technology has a glitch, it's time to start pointing fingers, and it always wants to go back to the person that you bought last. In the high-end residential market, I get stuff that I didn't even touch because I was in the same room. That's always a fun one.
Well, in
Go.
our markets, we're dealing with digital cinema. We're dealing with these entertainment venues, pop concerts, sporting events, and generally they're not happening in office hours. So we definitely need to offer out of office hours technical support, and that's the reason for having it there. Something always happens at the wrong moment, so that's when it needs to get fixed.
So when there's sporting events, pop concerts, things like that, or some of these big 3D projection mappings at a casino or wherever they may be in the world, and Barco is the equipment and things like that on a massive scale. We talked about working with teams that are probably specialized in doing just this on these types of events. Super Bowl is a pretty big event. I'm sure there's others that are equally as large, if not bigger, that are doing similar stuff. Aside Barco being the media content holder in their media servers and the projection to produce the content, is there a team of Barco members there kind of assuring that things are going, to the level of what they should be on hand in case things go wrong as a backup in case, team A has some issues or just as a backup and help for in general?
And we have done that in the past. It very much depends on who the partner is who's doing the job, whether they actually want us there or not. But certainly we have been present. For a good example of that, is last year in August in China, we did the opening and closing ceremony of the Youth Olympic Games in Nanjing. And it was actually the largest projection mapping in the world to date, where we had 112 projectors up in the balcony area of the stadium on both sides, projecting down onto the floor. So there was the whole floor area of the stadium covered in projection. So that took quite a bit of setting up with the media servers, with the controllers, with the projectors. On that particular event, we did have people on site.
That sounds intense.
Yeah, that was a setup over about 4 or 5 weeks before the actual event took place. So it's quite time consuming, but these big spectaculars are obviously something that, you know, the whole world looks at. So it's something that we can't afford to have going wrong, and we're very happy to help out.
Can you touch on to where you think, I mean, without giving the roadmap, the digital roadmap away, where you envision Barco may head towards? Or, I mean, it does sound like a loaded question of like, give me all your secrets, but you know, I think projection mapping is a huge thing, and maybe that's where the market is heading towards, you know, that being more common thing. I mean, is there anything else that you could see at least in the fixed in hospitalities and things like that? Do you see it expanding elsewhere outside of that? Or
I mean, you already see it start to come down to even smaller events. So, for example, you can see it coming, or people have experimented with having it in the retail environment. So using projectors to project onto, for example, running shoes and things like that, or objects, everyday objects in a store. You can, with the projector and the content, you can make it look as if the object is moving or changing color or doing whatever it is that you want it to do, which makes it look more appealing to the shopper and catches the attention and increases the amount of people buying. So these kinds of things are being experimented with more and more. There's also a very nice application of projection mapping in Spain. At the Hard Rock Cafe, there's a restaurant called Sublimotion. If you check it out on YouTube, look up Sublimotion for some videos on there. This was done with Barco projectors, and they project around the whole room. So the whole atmosphere in the restaurant is created with projection, and they actually project onto the table surface as well. So as the different meals are served, they change the atmosphere, they change the look and the feel of the whole table, the whole room. So it's a whole experience. So there's people playing with projection mapping in all kinds of different fields.
When you say the whole room, you're talking about like in a 360 degree, the floor, everything?
Yeah.
What about, okay, taking that same scenario, and I've heard this from other people, probably my nerd friends, but taking that same type of application, but in a gaming application for, you know, hardcore video gamers or events of that nature. Is that something that has been done with you guys?
As far as I know, we've never done anything like that. I'm sure some of our customers out there have played with different things, but it's certainly a possibility. Applying projectors into the home environment to make a, you know, cave, as they call it, a projection cave. It's certainly doable. The technology exists. I guess it comes down to cost and whether somebody actually wants to do it.
Yeah, I talked with a friend, like just taking a cube, if you will, and rear projecting onto the walls, up and down, forward, back, not necessarily, unless, because now it seems like we're getting into that, the word is escaping me, but we don't need projectors.
Simulator.
What is that?
A simulator.
A simulator, exactly.
I mean, it exists for military applications, of course. They've used simulators to train military personnel for the last few years. There are fast jet aviation simulators, ship simulators, tank simulators, even just normal battlefield simulation. So all of this exists, so I guess it's just a matter of scaling it down and bringing it into the home.
Well, going to the military applications, do you know if Barco has any involvement with any of that yet?
Yes, we make professional simulators for military type and also commercial aviation simulators for quite a while. We certainly still make the projectors for it. We actually divested our simulation division at the end of last year. So although we're not directly involved any longer in creating the screens and doing the projects, we still make the projectors for those.
In your division, which sounds like a very, very large division, the hospitality and venue, aside 3D projection, are there any other interesting cases where Barco's being used than just fixed imagery? Or, I mean, what are you seeing out there that's kind of unique applications with the, maybe Barco's doing that other people aren't doing, or?
Well, I think that's the biggest one of the biggest kicks in doing this job is seeing the different ways that our customers use our equipment on all of these different shows and things. And people take Barco equipment, so whether it be the projector or LED screens or the image processing, the media server side of things, and apply them in really, really different ways. So that's always the fascinating thing. I guess, I mean, you must have seen as well on YouTube and other projection mapping type websites, people have used robotics more and more. So attaching screens to the end of a robot arm and then having it move around and be synchronized to the way the content is mapped is very clever and looks very, very effective. Recently, that's been applied in some cruise ships. So there's a cruise ship now with a robotic display, and I know that one of the selling points of that was that normally on a cruise ship you've got a cast of dancers and actors to keep the people entertained on the ship. And one of the problem was that you had to have so many people because there were injuries or people got sick or something happened. So you need to have extra people there to make sure that the show can go on. With robotic arms, you don't need to have that. You're using robots, which always work, or mostly they always work. They're much more reliable than people.
Till they
You
turn on
just
you.
you just turn them on. You can project onto them. You can have them act in very, very different ways. So it really reduces the cost of putting on these big shows in these fixed environments. So that's probably something that we'll see happening more and more.
What do you think about Barco doing, and if I maybe you do already, I'm not aware of it, but like a Pico projector?
Never say never. But I guess that's Pico projection is quite special in that you need to make it extremely low cost and you need a huge volume. It's not impossible, but there's a lot of Chinese companies out there who are really specialist in doing that kind of thing. So Barco's really never been a specialist in making the ultra low cost stuff. So
Okay.
we'll see what happens in the future, but that's probably not our thing.
I think though what brought that up is that we're talking about projection mapping and doing kind of like the 360 room view, but there is a music producer, I think, by the name of Jack Conti, and he produces this some electronic music, and in one of his last few videos, what was interesting, where he was doing projection mapping onto objects. So he's got like a table layout where he's clearly projection mapping onto the table and pushing his buttons and making music so that the trigger things. And then around him, he has the same sort of projection mapping, but he kind of moves around the room and moves to different objects where it's a face, like a robotic face, like you're talking about, that projects someone else's face and does music. And it's very interesting. And that I think that's kind of why I thought maybe smaller projection, but for all I know, it's probably a normal projector on the other side of the room, just to that one little fixed object or something like that. And I have seen a few other things, like you said, with the shoes and things like that. So I'm just kind of curious on how that something of that dynamic kind of gets assembled. I mean, it's I think a smaller scale, as I'm seeing, to the events that you guys are helping to produce and create, which is probably way beyond all that, and way more projection. Just trying to imagine what something like that on a smaller scale would entail. I'm sure it would still be several projectors and a lot of coordination. Yeah, so I just was thinking Pico projectors, but maybe that's not where Barco's headed.
It's certainly not where we're headed at the moment. It is an interesting technology, but as I said, it tends to be very small, less than 1,000 lumens, usually lit by LEDs, low-cost devices. And yeah, in order to produce those at that kind of cost, you need to make thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. So it tends to be the sort of big consumer AV brands that do those kind of things.
Speaking of projection with LEDs, or the type of I should ask, you know, I haven't yet, what does Barco use to use as a light source, or what are you guys using? The biggest thing I'm hearing, buzzword if you will, is laser projection. Is that something you're currently doing or possibly getting into, or maybe
Yeah, it's something we're doing, and it's something we're getting more and more into. Today, most projectors are still powered by a traditional lamp, whether it be a xenon lamp or a UHP or high-pressure mercury-type lamp. Some of the lower brightness projectors, so typically 1,000 lumens or so maximum, can be LED. That's sort of the maximum of LED at the moment, but that will probably go up over the next few years. We're not sure how far yet, but what we do see coming in at the top end is laser. So we've just launched a series of laser projectors using red, green, and blue lasers. And then the next thing to hit will be laser phosphor. So coming in sort of the mid-range, we've got laser phosphor, which is slightly cheaper than using red, green, and blue lasers. It uses a blue laser only with a phosphor wheel to create the different colors. And we can get very, very long lifetime, very good color reproduction. So all the things that people need in a cost-effective chassis. So yeah, laser is definitely something that that you'll see more and more of, I suppose, from all the manufacturers, not just from Barco.
So do you think that most people will be kind of phasing into lasers, and that might be the best method of projection in video playback, just for cost effectiveness, accuracy, things like that?
It's certainly set to change the market quite dramatically. Because of its lifetime, because of its color performance, it does have a number of advantages. It's still a bit more expensive than lamps, so it will take a little bit longer, or it will take a little bit of time before it gets cheap enough that it becomes widely accepted. But certainly laser is one of the key routes to the future. And being able to handle those very, very high brightnesses, the high temperatures that entails as well, it brings different skills and different technologies into a projector that we haven't seen before. So it's an interesting time at the moment.
I've seen a few concerts where they are projecting dead celebrities on stage, and I'm wondering how that's done. Do you know what I'm referring to? Or
do you mean the kind of hologram?
Yeah.
Pepper's Ghost?
Yeah, exactly.
Pepper's Ghost is a very old technology. It's been around for years and years and years. And it basically consists of a projector with a half-mirrored plate held at 45 degrees to create the hologram, or the appearance of a hologram. It's been used at theme parks for years and years and years. So yeah, we do see it coming back and being used in these live stage events.
Smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors, yeah, that's it.
Has Barco been doing any of this lately, or is that just kind of a thing that's been going around and people are just reproducing an old technology?
Yeah, it's not something that we do. Obviously, you can use our projectors to make it happen. But you know, you can as long as you have the half silvered mirror held at 45 degrees, it's not too tough.
Is there anything that you can talk about that we feel like, well, I guess first question, is there anything that we haven't covered that I should mention about Barco that we haven't really got into yet that you guys are doing that you feel that should be mentioned on the show?
Well, I guess if you sort of want the inside line, I guess the other thing that's really happening in projectors now is resolution. We've spoken about light sources, the tendency towards laser and laser phosphor and different types of solid state lighting. The other thing that's happening is resolution. So obviously driven from the consumer side, we see more and more 4K or UHD, Ultra HD, display devices becoming available, and the demand is certainly out there to up the resolution. So that's also a trend that we see happening, and I think over the next few years or a few months, you'll see more and more higher resolution projectors and displays becoming available. The other thing that entails is that you have to have the back end to support that. So you need to have transport mechanisms to get 4K images to those display devices. That's not as obvious as it may first appear. It's not just a case of connecting a DVI cable. It's still very unclear how you move those very large 4K images over long distances. And then also, of course, you need to store or capture those 4K images. So a lot of these rental companies and installations need to upgrade their cameras, need to upgrade their storage, upgrade the image processing, and also the transport mechanisms, as well as the display devices to make the whole 4K thing happen. So again, it will take time before that really becomes the standard. But that's something that we see happening over the next few years.
But right now, as it stands, is Barco, I wouldn't say all of them, but do you have 4K projectors currently?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Okay. And then are they, HDCP compliant 2.0? Is that what we're talking about? That's the big push to, at least in the high-end residential realm. All these people are buying 4K panels that aren't supporting the new spec, so pretty quick here, they aren't going to get video pass through, at least on a video switch standpoint. So it may not be a problem with commercial. I mean, it could be, but you're telling me that over long distances, the issue mainly is sending 4K signal across, you know, stadiums or something like that, correct?
Yes, correct. To be able to send a 4K signal currently, if you use DisplayPort 1.1, for example, you need two cables to send a 4K image. There is DisplayPort 1.2, but currently there is no commercialized or system out there for sending DisplayPort 1.2 over very long distances. You've got HDMI 2 as well, but again, there's no silicon out there to actually make that happen. So coming up with a long-distance transport mechanism for 4K is quite important at the moment.
Waiting on the industry to catch up.
There we go. It's something we're working on as well.
If you want to learn more about Barco, obviously we'll send you to the website. It's barco.com, BARCO.com, barco.com. Richard, if people have any questions, and they want to reach out to you and learn more about, you know, what you're doing with Barco or just general questions, what's the best way to reach out?
Well, you can find us on Facebook. That's obviously Facebook and Twitter. Any questions posed on there usually find their way back to me or at least one of my colleagues. So somebody from Barco will answer. Or you can contact me directly. So anybody's got a question, no problem.
What is the best way to contact you directly?
Probably by email, with different time zones and things like that. So it's richard.marples, MARPLES, at barco.com.
And for the social accounts we just previously mentioned,
Twitter is at Barco, and it's very easy to find the Barco pages on Facebook as well.
Facebook.com/Barco, Google Plus. If you're a Google person like myself, it's plus.google.com/plus/Barco/post. That'll take you to their main page. If you like videos and are the good YouTube person, youtube.com/user/Barco TV. As you mentioned, Twitter. And if you're more of a business professional, head over to linkedin.com and /company/Barco. If you want to reach out to me, send me emails and tell me that you think I'm awesome, you can. Or you can tell me you hate the show, whatever you'd like. But no spam. I'm not a big fan of that. My personal email is johnnynynymota3@gmail.com. If Twitter still exists tomorrow, my Twitter handle is @jmota3. Tweet me and let me know what you think about the show. If you want to learn more, or if you want to get educated on Barco stuff, head over to barco.com. Scroll over to the column that says training support. Go down to training and get educated. Get some standards in you and confidently deploy these sweet, sweet 3D projection systems that I'm seeing more and more of. This is going to be the future. Well, the future is now. Don't waste it. I'll leave it at that. I'll catch you all next time. My name is John, everyone. This has been AV Insider. We'll catch you on the next show. Thanks for listening.